This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Here's Miller and Condon.
Ken Miller. Trent Condon. Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO. And now on 106.3 FM.
Hi, good morning, everybody. Welcome in. Miller and Condon here on a Monday, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. It's Trent Condon and it's Ken Miller. We got another reason for you to listen to this radio program. The keywords are back starting, well, in about 25 minutes or thereabouts. Keywords at 10 and 11, and then starts up again with Murph and Andy, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 o'clock. So plenty of opportunities, 7 of them during the day parts for the keywords. It's a KXNO.com destination for you to enter your keyword. This is not a texting contest. Go to KXNO.com. We'll give you the keyword coming up here in about 25 minutes. Again, it's for $1,000 every time we have one of those hours. And KXNO's been blank the last couple of these promotions, so hopefully we can end that. BMW Des Moines guest list looks like Nick Olson's going to join us at the bottom of the hour. Boys, there are a lot of Iowa State news percolating. J.J. Cole, is he or isn't he? We'll know tonight at 7 o'clock if he's going to be a quarterback at Iowa State. Tyrese Hunter, is he or isn't he going to get, what's the number we saw?
$750,000.
I've got more power to him.
Mm-hmm. Get what you deserve, right?
Absolutely. I don't think there's an inch of truth to it. I don't know, a sliver of truth. We'll see. There certainly was a lot of buzz. What would you call it?
Concern.
Good. There was a lot of concern. I'll use your word. That's really good. This weekend as to whether he is leaving or not. So we'll get into that with Nick. Of course, recap football. They did sign another player this weekend. Another transfer came into the program. So we will talk to Nick about all things Iowa State. Hassan Ward, correct, is the kid's name?
VCU kid. I remember seeing VCU a couple of times. What is his calling card? He's a great defender.
Well,
just
that's
what they
great.
Need, right? Yeah. He'll fit in well.
He will. They still have that glaring omission on that roster. Or maybe they don't. Maybe they're waiting, and they have somebody in mind.
Ah.
We'll see. But we do know Tyrese Hunter is the rumors. Hassan Ward is a Cyclone. At 11:05, Trent and Matt Snyder and I will talk Major League Baseball, our weekly segments at 11:05 with Matt Snyder from CBSSports.com as we go around MLB. Look forward to doing that Mondays at 11:05, and then Scott Docterman will come in here at about 11:30. The Big Ten is about to cash in. Their media rights coming to a head. John Oran from Sports Business Journal reported the parameters around that. The weird part about it, the Big Ten Network is actually sitting in on these meetings.
Mm-hmm.
So when CBS comes to pitch the Big Ten Network, or the Big Ten, is sitting around the conference table.
Yes.
Kind of weird. I never heard of that before.
Now, Mark Silverman. Yeah, they own a chunk.
Right.
And Mark Silverman was the head of BTN programming before he got his job with Fox Sports. So it's a little weird. It's a little different. You don't see this happen very often, but it certainly makes sense. And for a guy with the new commissioner of the Big Ten, Kevin Bourne, a guy that doesn't have a TV background, do you have a problem with it?
No. I just want to see how it all shakes out.
Right.
And we should know by Memorial Day is what the articles are saying. That, I mean, we know Fox has a good chunk of it. Mm-hmm. Is NBC going to get some of it? They want a doubleheader, Notre Dame early, or Big Ten early, Notre Dame late, or vice versa. So that's on the table. CBS, of course, has got to replace the SEC network. We do know this, Trent. Wherever it ends up, whoever it ends up with, the Big Ten is going to get paid.
And Amazon is involved.
Yeah.
Apple is involved.
I didn't even want to bring those two up.
But they are involved. And as we see both of those entities now dipping their toe into live sports, course, we got Amazon Prime with the NFL coming on. We got the Major League Baseballs that are happening on Friday night. I saw YouTube also gets, about a dozen exclusive baseball games as they've had last 4 or 5 years. They're back into it. But yeah, the streaming entities are both there, and you want them there because that means that money is going up, indeed. Even if they don't get a piece of the package.
Right. It's going to cause whoever gets it to pay more for it.
Best case scenario. This is how I look at it from a fan perspective.
Okay.
So Fox has carved out this niche. Now, don't love it in the Midwest. In the Central time zone.
With the 11 o'clock kick, you mean?
It sucks.
I'm with you.
As a fan, it is
for their
brutal.
Biggest game of the day, it's 11 o'clock in the morning kickoff.
You want that late afternoon or night game for your biggest games. That's not the case. All right, you live with it. It's money, right?
Yep.
And it's keeping up with the Joneses, and the Joneses being the SEC. So they've carved out that niche. That's going to stay.
And Urban Meyer's going back, by the way.
Gross. Yeah. He's disgusting.
Yeah, I'm looking. I like listening to him when he's doing his 5-minute vignettes on BTN. He was good, but
can he stop though?
He's such a dick.
Yeah, and being so sacrimonious and how he's this is how you create a team. And we know it's BS.
No, he was exposed when he was in Jacksonville, Trent.
And it's
a figurehead.
Credibility is going to be, I think, a little more difficult for
Without
many people.
Doubt.
If he's just breaking down tape, he can do that. But the other parts, let's leave that aside. Urban, just get up to the chalkboard. That's your strength.
Right.
Do that part of it. That aside, though, I want to see the CBS. There's just something about CBS.
2:30 in the afternoon.
That 2:30 window.
Yeah.
Now, would they have to push it back? Because Fox games, we know, they have so much.
Yeah, probably three, right?
Commercial inventory. And you still have to stay with ESPN, don't you?
Yes, you have to get something.
So it is basically, you're creating almost a new window. Fox has basically the same. Maybe a couple more games because basically the same package. Your overall games are still going to be on BTN. And now you're looking for that number two game every week, sometimes number one, but you're on CBS. And then you get the remaining filler. There's a Minnesota-Iowa game. It's on ESPN. You have that kind of flexibility because you can't completely go away, I don't think, from ESPN.
I don't think you can either, Trent. It's too important.
It's too big. What? You know it. I know it. We have DirecTV. And, well, let's start. 206.
Yep, then 209, then back to 207.
Is there something on 208?
610, yes. Right? 208.
And then you're bouncing around, but that's where you start as a sports fan. It doesn't matter if you have Mediacom or if you have DirecTV or whatever it is, or you're a YouTube TV subscriber, Hulu. You're starting at ESPN, and because of that, it's just so important. And you're not on their airwaves. They're not going to talk about you as much.
That's a great point. Look what it did to the NHL when the NHL didn't pony back up with them. Speaking of that, just real quick on this little nugget, because we both like sports wagering. If you bet the favorites in the NHL starting on Friday night.
I don't like betting favorites.
I know you don't. You would have got your clock cleaned because there were 22 games from Friday through yesterday. The favorites went 22-0.
What?
Not a single underdog won this weekend.
Is there a theory behind why that's happening?
I know. I just
teams
I don't
playing
know.
For something as opposed to not
yeah,
playing
I mean,
for
maybe
something.
Maybe some of the teams that are out of it are.
But still, for 22 games.
It's crazy. 22-0, a run of favorites winning in the NHL. For the sportsbook operators, it's a good thing they don't write a lot of NHL business.
Right.
Because that would have been a blow. Anyways, that aside. So, real quick on this, the United States Football League launched this week. I watched. Actually, more than I thought on Saturday night. Trent, there were 3 million people that watched Saturday night.
Okay.
There was apparently 17,500 people in the stands in Birmingham, which I guess is the flagship market?
It's where all the games are.
Right.
So, yeah, absolutely.
And there were a couple of other places yesterday that hosted, that had games. A couple other games yesterday. Trent, there were dozens of people in the stands. That's it. 3 million people tuned in. Here's the rarity about that. The game on Saturday night was on two different. It's like Super Bowl I when NBC and CBS both broadcast the Super Bowl.
Right.
On Saturday night, NBC and Fox both carried the same game. Joel Klatt and
Kurt Menefee. Yeah,
the play-by-play duo in the booth, and still only 3 million people. Now, what does that do to next week? Because we know that, yeah, week one's the, it's kind of like the, you know, driving down the interstate and you see a wreck and you, everybody's slowing down because you want to take a look at it, right? Mm-hmm. Kind of like it was, at least for me, on Saturday night when I'm running through the channels. You stop, you take a peek at it, you see what kind of what kind of level of play that you're watching, and then you move on. What's it going to do next week? If there's no fans for these teams, if they don't appreciate their teams, why should I?
Right. I'm looking back at 21 years ago when the XFL launched. Huge numbers in week one.
There were, I remember.
9.5.
Mm-hmm.
Following week, 4.6, 3.1. By the end of the regular season, they're down to a 1.5. Yeah. On network TV.
Right.
And that was a lot more buzz than what we have right here.
Mm-hmm.
It's never going to work.
It's never going to work.
There's just no appetite for it. Spring football, people that care, you're caring about spring football for college football.
Mm-hmm.
You're caring about the NFL draft.
Yep.
Those are the things that matter. These games, and they're bad.
They are.
I watched 10 minutes yesterday, and it was brutal.
Right.
Just absolutely awful. Went over to USA 242, and it's bad football. There's no two ways about
it. It's a far cry from the NFL.
It's a far cry from high school football.
Uh-huh.
It's just unwatchable. It's bad football. And that's nothing. It's never going to be alleviated. Mm-hmm. You're never going to be able to get past
there
that part of
it. There was one player on Saturday night. Satterfield, I think, is his name. He's a receiver. He caught the first pass of the game, a long ball. And then he caught the first touchdown. He goes clock cleaned in the end zone. He got lit up. But he was the only guy that, you know, kind of registered in my mind. But it's just, it's inferior. But you know that, you know, you're not tuning in to watch the NFL.
Sure.
And I guess you can, well, I know you can. You can bet on these games. So maybe now with the expansion of sports wagering, if sports wagering doesn't cause you to watch these games, what is?
Nothing.
Nothing.
And we'll go through the song and dance and the XFL relaunches again next year.
Right.
And it doesn't matter.
It doesn't.
It's
football's over on Super Bowl Sunday.
Yeah.
And then we get ready for the draft. And then it's downhill from the draft because the draft is the halfway point of the offseason. If you found a team and adopted a team, don't get too close to them.
So why? Why do we see these millionaires and billionaires continue to try to trot this out?
Do they need the tax write-off? Honest to God, I don't know.
Yeah. That's kind of a fair point, right?
And Fox, they invested a lot of money in these things, mm-hmm. and they sold some of it off to NBC, apparently. And both of those networks carried the game on Saturday night. Anyways, we'll see if it lasts. I don't give it much of a chance. I'm anxious to see the numbers from week one to week number two because, there's going to be a drop. Mm-hmm. All right, NBA yesterday, Trent, was terrific. In fact,
yes.
It was really good all weekend. For the most part, there were a couple of games. Minnesota-Memphis was terrific, but this game yesterday afternoon, Boston and Brooklyn, my God, 2 versus 7. How good was that?
High-level basketball
Oh,
throughout.
Jesus.
And it was really start to finish. It was even the end of the first quarter. They're trotting in. They're doing offensive-defensive substitutions at the end of the first quarter in the final minute. It just shows you NBA basketball during the course of a regular season, 82 games. It's tough. It really is.
Yeah.
And there's a team that we watch in the T-Wolves, but it's difficult. A game in November and December, and just on and on and on. But when you get to this point, you see these high-level stars.
Oh,
and
my God.
That's what makes NBA basketball what it is watching these stars play. And Kyrie, with all the histrionics,
Trent,
and the double bird.
Yeah, I have no problem with it.
No. And he's taken it from... Yep. He's taking it from the fans,
and
as
he's giving
he
it back. And trust me, when do they play next Wednesday?
Yep.
I mean, he's going to hear from it again in Boston. He was there briefly, didn't work out. I don't have a problem with it. I don't have a problem with what he said at the press conference. Look, it's not like this. They were getting to him. He scored 39, did he not?
Yeah.
And how many of them were in the fourth quarter? 16, 17, something? Mm-hmm. I mean, he's went crazy in the fourth quarter.
And as wild of a buzzer beater.
Oh, my gosh.
Again,
I didn't think they were going to get it off.
You're a coach. You want to teach your kids to move without the basketball?
Yeah, watch
right there.
That.
Show that play.
Yep, watch that.
Because Tatum kept moving.
Yep.
And he cuts to the basket,
mm-hmm.
and good things happen. And Mike Breen, not a very call there for a buzzer beater.
Yeah.
Because it was so good. It was so weird. It's so different than
honestly,
what you see.
Were you? I wasn't even watching the clock or watching the backboard for the light to come on. I was watching the ball movement and all the cutting, etc. Because it was kind of pandemonium in the paint. Right? Are they going to get it off? What are they doing? This extra pass? Oh my gosh! Kind of wanted Brooklyn to win the basketball game, but man, oh man, it was entertaining.
I didn't because I'm a Boston on the series.
Are you?
Yeah. So my two
plus
series
money or no?
No, minus 130 is what I laid with Boston. And of course, I got the Timberwolves plus 310. Feeling good after game one of that one.
Yeah.
It was, again, kind of that re-indoctrination that we have with the NBA. And, oh yeah, this is what we miss.
Uh-huh.
And we don't talk about it for 6 months because, boy, it's good.
And they let him play, don't they?
Yeah.
My God, the officials let him play.
Swallowing the whistle and just let him go out
the
there.
The contact. It is it's really a physical sport. You know, Brinson used to, and Dyer used to, two real hardcore basketball guys, and, come on. I was never by. This is really physical. They get away with so much. I mean, every single time. You can't make a layup in this league, Trent.
Mm-hmm.
You really can't. I mean, there's denials at the rim. You're bumping into each other, going up for it. And they just swallow the whistle, and off they go to the other end of the floor.
Bucks-Bulls turned out to be a lot better than I anticipated
Trent,
game one.
The total was 230 in the game. Live
there's 179 points.
I know. It was 230. They put it up during the broadcast. Look, Chicago, if a woulda, shoulda, could have won that basketball game. There was a point, what did they say? 7.5 minutes left in the fourth quarter. The fourth quarter score, 4.5 minutes into it, was 3-3. Bucks 3, Bulls 3 in the fourth quarter. Giannis going out with 5 fouls. LaVine going out with 5 fouls. They just, the Bulls could not make a shot to save their life. They had a chance to open up a lead. And I mean, it's a significant lead. You know, 5, 6, 7 points because the Bucks weren't scoring to save their lives either. But I couldn't make a shot. Couldn't make a shot. So what is that? Does that give Bulls fans confidence that maybe this is going to be a better series than we thought?
You got to steal those kind of games.
We got to get that. Yeah, absolutely.
And now you got to figure Milwaukee's not going to play as poorly as they did in game one. So that was the opportunity. If you're going to make this a series, I think they had to get the one yesterday. And because they didn't, it's going to be, well, it's basically impossible, right? You got to win 4 out of 6 now against this team. You got to do it, 3 of them being in Milwaukee. It's just so difficult to find a path.
If there is a path, it's DeRozan because he was abysmal. I mean, he was god-awful in the basketball game. And this guy's been fantastic. He really has. His shooting prowess has been on display. And look, I haven't watched a ton of the Bulls. I probably 2 or 3 times, but every time I watch him, I mean, he's automatic. That 10-foot jumper, 8 to 10-footer, it's going in. You know who's really good? And I remember saying this last year when he was with the Lakers. This Caruso dude can play defense, can he?
He can.
Oh, he looks like anything like but an NBA player. But, man, he's good. He's locked down. Now, he can't shoot to save his life. But
he's got his role.
Not his that's not his job. His job is to play D, and Jesus, he does it well.
I was hopeful we'd get something last night then to kind of cap the weekend.
Well, we did for a little bit because they made it interesting until Chris Paul went just crazy.
Isn't he fun to watch?
Oh, my God. Trentino had like a 13-0 personal run in that game.
Double-double, 30 and 10
oh
for him.
God.
Just so good with the basketball, so smart at this point in his career. And you think back of going way back when he was at Wake Forest and early in his career, it was all about the speed, right? That speed's not at the same level. And yet he is so smart. He is intelligent of a basketball player and just he is at his own level, understanding how to control a game.
He looked like a cheat code during that period, Trent.
Yeah.
Honest to God.
When he needs to go, he can. When he needs to facilitate, he does. He's exactly what you want as a point guard. And the point guard that has evolved over time, and you need a guy now, you can't just be the old school typical point guard, right, where you just facilitate, you play some defense. The John Stockton in the world, you got to be able to take over games at times.
Right.
And Chris Paul, even at this point in his career, can still do it.
No, he did. So what you saw this weekend, do you still think that because I think they are, that the Suns are unbeatable?
I wouldn't say unbeatable.
Clearly the favorites, though?
Yeah.
Yeah, deservedly so, right?
I started looking at Golden State.
Did you?
Steph Curry's still not Steph.
Trent, here's the thing. Denver's got one guy. They got one guy.
Yeah.
And after that, I don't know.
Without Murray, yeah,
right?
They're just so limited.
So if it,
and I didn't want to overreact to what we saw Saturday night because it was Golden State doing whatever they wanted.
Absolutely. They've got the second, third, fourth. I don't know how far you go.
Right.
But it's a long way before you get to that next Denver player.
Right. It's a big, big gap. But it's Golden State.
So what's their number?
Let me pull it up here because...
Can you get 8-1 to win it all? I'm sure you can.
I'm sure you can. I was even thinking about even doing something just to win the West because they're on the right side of the bracket. They wouldn't see him until the conference finals. And at that point, has Steph worked himself back into shape? Is he... They got the minutes. They played it together. What was it, 11 minutes all year long that we saw the big three of Golden State play together?
Is that all they played? Wow, I didn't realize that.
Draymond, Clay, and Steph played 11 minutes together during the regular season. All right, let's see here. Series markets, no, we don't want that. We want team futures. Here we go. To win the NBA right now, the Suns are still 2-1. The Bucks, the second choice, plus 475. The Warriors now plus 650. Conference winner, plus 320. You missed it. Do it, go all in.
You missed it.
Yeah. That was the opportunity.
Yeah, I think it was. I think it was.
Now I got to see those series markets. What are the T-Wolves now after being plus 310?
Oh, I'm still, they're probably, you know, I don't know.
Plus 105.
Okay.
So you can still get plus money if you're a believer in Minnesota.
Are you in this series?
Oh, I was a believer in the beginning. Edwards, how good was he Saturday?
Trent, he's been unbelievable.
And how much more?
The play-in game and then this one.
He's still 20.
Uh-huh. Trent, they're all young.
Cat's the old dude. He's 25.
Right. And he's signed. They've got team control on him.
Why do we have to wait till tomorrow still, though?
I know it.
The way they drag this thing out. You mentioned Nets Celtics. Let's get this thing going again
tonight. Wednesday.
Let's see Wednesday.
Right. It's Wednesday.
So three games tonight. Three games that all in game one went to the favorite, the home team.
The Raptors first, up first.
That'll be the 6:30 game.
Scotty Barnes isn't going to play?
No Scotty Barnes.
Yeah.
Game two, 7:30, Jazz Mavericks. No Luka.
Right.
And then the nightcap Nuggets Warriors. Of the three road teams, I don't think any of them will win.
No, I don't think so.
But it feels
so
like historically it does happen. Who do you give the best chance to? There were times
not the Raptors. They're too banged up.
I thought the Mavs played pretty well without Luka.
Yeah.
Maybe that. And it's
close,
at home.
Right?
But they're all, let's see, 7.5, the Sixers are favored. 7, the Warriors are favored. And 5, the Jazz are favored. So I guess by point spread, I guess it still would be Dallas. It's tough. Well, get something tonight, though, please.
Well, I'm going to watch the Cubs and the Rays. That's a pretty good series. Two teams. I mean, the Cubs are playing decent ball. Bullpen wasn't great yesterday. Patrick Wisdom, who couldn't hit, couldn't grab a hit to save his life. He went crazy in Colorado. He had a really good series. What was he batting going into the weekend? .049 or something?
Something like that, yeah.
Not sure what it is now. That means it's got to be over 200 because he was really good in that series. Drew Smiley was good yesterday. You know what was an entertaining series this weekend? Cardinals and the Brewers. Cardinals and the Brewers.
These didn't see much of it.
These two teams are, as expected, they certainly look as though they're going to be the two teams that will settle the Central. I really think. I mean, we're not going out very far because the Reds stink. Pirates are the Pirates. The Cubs are going to be, Cappy said that they're going to be better, and you could take that with a grain of salt because that's his team.
Sure.
And he admits that's his one. He's a fan of that. But it looks as though he may be right.
They can win 82, 83
If they
games.
Can win that, Trent, that's a huge, huge plus.
Get us to July, right?
Absolutely. Not even past that. Get us through August.
Through August.
Or into August.
Into August. I think that's a little more
Be
fair.
Relevant.
Yes, please.
Now, Kyle Hendricks pitches tonight. He was okay in his first start. He got rocked the other night. And he's going up against a pretty good lineup. So see how Hendricks does tonight, 6:40 first pitch.
Twins underway against the Red Sox.
Yeah,
Patriot Day game.
There was a Twitter rumor.
Yeah, help me out here. You mentioned this as I came in this morning.
That apparently there was, once the media left the Red Sox locker room prior to the game this morning, because it's a 10:10 first pitch, a bunch of MLB, reporters didn't quite know who they were, but they noticed a bunch of guys going into the locker room that they thought was kind of a COVID from the COVID unit of Major League Baseball. So do they have a COVID positive amongst the team? We do know that there's not a lot. There's a handful of them that aren't getting on the plane to travel to Toronto for that series that starts tomorrow.
And how different is it still between the border, between the U.S. and Canadian border?
Well, you can't get in unless you have a vaccine.
That's number one.
That's number one, yeah. Right. But I don't think there's any other restrictions.
Because there's a player for the 76ers, I know.
It's not going.
Right.
Right.
So, same thing there. Mm-hmm. So, you can't even cross the border.
There was one NHL player from an American team that couldn't play in Canada all season.
Okay.
Kid from Detroit. But that's the rules. And that's everybody knows them. And so, look, I don't feel real bad for baseball. I don't, because the Jays were on the road for 2 years, the last 2 years.
Playing in Florida,
playing in Buffalo.
Right.
Anyways, we will talk Iowa State when we come back from this break. Anxious to get Nick Olson. Boy, we've got a lot of ground to cover with Nick. There's so much potential news out there. Or is there? Is this Tyrese Hunter thing just a product of somebody putting it on a message board and it catches fire, and it caught fire?
It can happen.
Oh, my God. Just went crazy. That's... What do you think? Is there anything to it? Is there room on North Carolina's roster for starters?
Well, and that's a big question. I think many people, certainly from the Carolina realm that I've seen, where's he going to play?
Right.
It's not like he's coming in to play 30 minutes a game.
No, he's going to essentially, and he's a good player.
Mm-hmm.
But he's going to North Carolina, and is this kind of a Yesufu situation? I mean, he'll play more than that, you would think.
Yeah, he would.
But they've still got... I mean, Caleb Love's still there.
Right.
And Davis is still there. And apparently there's a McDonald's All-American that's about to be there.
Leaky Black's coming back.
Right.
So not a whole lot of minutes in that backcourt.
That's just it, right? I don't know.
If he's willing to go there and... Well,
but if they're willing to write him even half of what the rumor is... Mm-hmm. What did you say?
$750,000. That's, again, a rumor that is out there. It's a big check.
I mean, he's good, but is he... I mean, we don't know what. Where's the bar set, right? Mm-hmm. What is, how good do you have to be to make 750? Or if you're this good, you get $1 million. Or I mean, where does he fall in on? We don't know these things. That seems like a lot of money
for
a basketball player, especially when you look at that roster.
Trying to get over the hump, one more player. Got
Brady
the money.
Manek done.
Yes.
He's done, right?
He is done, yeah.
It's too bad.
He has completed his eligibility.
Baycott's going back.
He is.
Baycott's coming back for another year. Boy, it's too bad Manek's done. Well, not really. I don't care about North Carolina, but he was fun to watch him in the tournament. Anyways, we'll talk Iowa State with Nick Olson. But right now, what's this thing called?
We are going to do a $1,000 home run.
$1,000 home run. Okie dokie. I guess I didn't read the memo close enough. I apologize. But right now, go to KXNO.com. That's where you go, KXNO.com. Once you get there, enter the keyword cash. That's your chance for $1,000
bets off.
Now back to Miller and Condon. On 1460 KXNO and 106.3 FM. Here's Ken and Trent.
All right, welcome back, Miller and Condon. It's Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. If you missed the keyword, go to KXNO.com and enter the keyword cash at KXNO.com. Another one coming up just about 55 minutes or so from right now. Nick Olson covers Iowa State. Cyclone Alert, part of 24/7 Sports. A lot of topics to get to. Nick, Trent, and Ken, thanks for coming on. How are you?
Really good. Yeah, it was a busy, kind of news weekend on this holiday weekend, guys. How are you?
Doing fine, and still more to come with J.J. Cole, who apparently will make his announcement tonight at 7 o'clock. But we'll get back to that. Let's start with the Tyrese Hunter. Will he or won't he? I've just got a tweet that apparently Chris Williams on his podcast, of course, Chris here, 3-6, of course, Cyclone Fanatic, says that Hunter is going to enter the transfer portal. Are you reporting the same thing, Nick?
Yep, I started putting that on my subscriber boards over the weekend. I heard this morning, actually, that the process has kind of begun, so I would anticipate his name likely being in there by, I believe it's tomorrow morning. I don't know exactly how long, kind of that official process would take. However, I don't believe that means he is for sure leaving, but at this point, I would be shocked if his name is not in the portal from everything I heard over the weekend and even in the last hour.
So
wow, as recent as that.
There's more rumblings about that. This doesn't mean that it's a lock, stock, and barrel North Carolina. He enters the portal and he's going to Carolina. He's going to see what else is out there, right? It's not like, again, this was a top 50 player nationally. This is a guy that is known in recruiting circles. So there's going to be a lot of suitors out there also, and well, probably a lot of NIL money that's also going to be thrown around. So let's go to that avenue. Maybe some other potential names, who else might be interested. And secondly, the NIL part seems to be a big part of this.
Yeah, I not only think it's a big part, but I think it's maybe the most important part, because from everything I've, you know, gathered while looking into it and covering the team, it was never really an unhappiness, you know, with the team. He's close with the staff. He loved the season. And again, it's not necessarily that he is leaving. I know North Carolina's been linked a lot. That makes sense from their side in terms of what they have to offer. And obviously, you know, I heard you guys a couple minutes ago. They're going to go over the hump and trying to make that, you know, the championship and win it. But it wouldn't make a ton of sense for Tyrese's role or his development, right, or really even his position. So that has been mentioned. I am far from saying that that is a finality. And honestly, that's not even the one that I necessarily really heard the most on Saturday after the big rumblings kind of got going Friday. I've heard a couple things about, you know, SEC schools as well. I mean, often that he could fit better position-wise compared to North Carolina and some of the money that they could offer. But Iowa State will still work on putting something together, and clearly he'd be the face of the team going into the year. So I'm confident that he'll be in the portal, but don't think it's a done deal that he's leaving at all.
Yeah, I thought the torch was passed at the LSU game when he went crazy. Brockington kind of had an off game that day, and Hunter led them in scoring. In fact, he led them in two out of their three appearances, right? The Miami loss, he led the way as well. You know, it brings us to another story, Nick, and it might even be a bigger story than the comings and the goings, and that's how does Iowa State or schools like Iowa State keep up in the NIL money race, right? If there's a school that's willing to pay $750,000 for a kid like Tyrese Hunter, how does Iowa State compete with that? I mean, do you have any idea? Because I have none. And I don't even know who that player would be. Is there a player on Iowa State's roster that's getting, I don't know, 20? I mean, I would be embarrassing myself if I even guessed. Do you know what the NIL potential is amongst Iowa State? And if it is, you know, seemingly as minuscule as maybe one would assume that it is, how do they keep up and compete in this world of NIL?
That is right on the money. Whether, you know, Hunter is here or not, that's going to be the big deal that kind of comes out of this locally. And I think at some of the, you know, potential donors, connections, and the fan base, I do think that there's a chance not to compete with guys for like $750,000, like you mentioned, which, by the way, from what I've heard, those numbers are inflated for
that's what I would have thought.
I do not believe.
Right.
It's like that. Yep, not quite that high, certainly with the base. But, I mean, you're exactly right. I mean, Iowa State has a great, you know, fan base program foundation, but it might not have the name and cachet of, you know, say a Notre Dame or Duke in terms of a national foundation. So they really will have to figure out this week, look, what are we going to put into place to be able to compete, you know, not just with basketball, but it's becoming a big deal in football, and it's an ever-changing landscape. And, you know, I've written and said to a lot of my readers that this is so new to all of us. And, you know, the human side of me kind of feels for some of the coaches and even some of the players that won't get these opportunities, because it always leaves kind of a lingering thought, you know, is there more that I can be doing, and what else could I possibly get from that?
I've seen more and more people as this has continued, and certainly it's hitting Iowa State right now, but I've heard people on the other side of the state, Hawkeye fans, say the same thing, that this NIL era that we are embarking upon is making it much different than they thought as a fan, and making it maybe more difficult to be a college sports fan. Are you seeing that on the message board over at CycloneAlert.com? People saying, hey, if it continues this way, I might find a different thing to bring my sports interest to.
Yeah, it's a real bummer. I mean, I have seen some of that, and I don't necessarily, you know, blame the fans or however people feel. Mm-hmm. I hope that doesn't kind of remain the overwhelming feeling, you know, both personally and for the sports as well. But that's certainly something I've seen a lot of. And that's not really what, you know, NIL and all these new deals were meant to do. It was meant to kind of increase the both the earning potential as well as some of the casual fandom. So I hope that it doesn't stay in place. But, yeah, I'd be lying if I said I didn't see any of that this weekend either.
No, you know, it's When it was first announced, I was all for it. These kids, first they got an extra meal, right? They got an extra piece of bread on their plate, and it's starting to turn around for the athletes.
They can put cream cheese on their bagel finally.
Right, and toast it too, Trent, yes, because they didn't used to be able to toast it. Right. And then all of a sudden they got that, well, you can get one transfer. Then you could get, and I was all for it. But I guess, realize, I thought these kids maybe, the quarterback's going to get $25,000. I had no idea that we're talking about close to $1 million. And that does change things. This does make the college football fan experience. Now I understand where those gloom and doomers, and I don't know if they realized it was going to be like this either. They were just gloom and doom to be gloom and doom, but I think they're going to be proven right. Where does it end? Where does it end? We shall see. So let's move on to what we do know. Hassan Ward is coming to Iowa State. His calling card is defense. What can you tell us about him? I believe he has 2 years of eligibility left, correct?
Exactly, yep. And unless, you know, he kind of develops a major offensive turnaround and kind of blows up this year, he will be likely to use both of those. We were on that Saturday. He was supposed to, you know, hopefully announce yesterday, and it ended up coming out late Saturday night. And then I actually spoke with him yesterday, and he's someone that is not afraid to, you know, really dig in and build his foundation on the defensive end. He's got a little activity above the rim on offense. You know, he's a lob threat, but generally he can guard, I would say, comfortably 2 through 5. He said he can guard 1 through 5, good rim protector, decent rebounder. We'll have to cut down on the fouls a little bit, but I think with this staff and in this system, honestly, is he going to be a star? Not necessarily, but I think he's a really good fit, especially for what, you know, TJ and this Iowa State staff is looking to do on the defensive end.
Obviously, right now, all attention, I'm sure, is on Tyrese Hunter and trying to do everything they can to keep him around, but what else is out there? And if Hunter does enter the portal and ultimately does find another school for his sophomore season, boy, that's got to ramp things up and really completely change the way that they're building this roster for next season.
That's exactly right. You know, a lot of the focus and I would, you know, venture to say kind of the appeal to some of these transfers was to play with a ball dominant guy like Tyrese Hunter. So mm-hmm. if that happens, you know, that's going to change. There's still going to be this focus on a couple of the posts, like I've said on the show, but also they will need to look for another lead guard because as much mm-hmm. as I like Jeremiah Williams, I'm not sure, you know, he can fill both the 1 and the 2. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there's still a lot of talent in the portal, and I don't think that, you know, per se, if Hunter is gone, it's going to be this, you know, monumental collapse in terms of on-court, but I think it's just more, it would really hurt the program for what he meant to them, and as you said, what it could lead to in the future for Iowa State athletics.
Mm. Well, let's. Are you done with basketball, Trent?
Yeah.
Let's go to football. And J.J. Cole tonight, quarterback, big quarterback, is going to make his college choice tonight at 7 o'clock. Look, Trent and I are on the periphery of recruiting, all right? We lean on you for these things, and Tom Cakert on the Hawks. What do you think, Nick? It sure seems like Iowa State is the favorite for his services, if you will. Do you believe that J.J. Cole will put on an Iowa State hat, or however he's going to announce it at 7 o'clock, that he will be in Ames for his college career?
Yeah, Iowa State's been in a really good spot. And, you know, just based on kind of the timeline, he recently went on a visit to Wisconsin and then came back to Iowa State for a practice. He's got an official set with Iowa State in June. And just based on, you know, kind of the time and attention they've put in, as well as his opportunity to be kind of the face and the leader in this 2023 class, not just for the Cyclones, but, you know, potentially some of the talent in the state of Iowa, like we've talked about on the show, including Patton and, you know, Kai Black, I would be pretty surprised, very surprised, if he chose a different school tonight with his commitment. Absolutely.
a little bit of a side, but this one just shocked me. I heard this last week. It was being bandied about a little bit. Iowa State, they're currently 29th in the country in recruiting rankings. But the number one team right now for the 2023 class, it's not Ohio State. It's not Alabama. It's not Georgia.
A&M?
It's the Texas Tech Red Raiders. Now, this is a volume thing, Nick. I think you can fill us in a little bit more. They got a ton of commitments with the new coaching staff there, but it's just such a shock to go to 24/7 and see Texas Tech at the top of the list.
Yeah, definitely a volume thing. They're doing some good things, and I think that there's a lot for Texas Tech fans to be excited about. But, you know, kind of how we compile this, the rankings, obviously based on quality, but also the more players, the more volume, the better, kind of at the offset of that. So that's the reason they're number one. But again, lots to be excited about there. And yeah, as Iowa State's added more players, they've continued to climb. And I expect that to continue at least a little bit if things go the way that they've been trending around Ames, certainly.
Nick, there's so much that we don't have time to get to, including what you saw on Friday night. The good news is you'll be with us Mondays when there's really not a lot going on, so we can bring this back up next Monday. We'll pick your brain on what you saw over the spring practices, the two that you were able to witness, the players and coaches you were able to speak with, etc. But right now I think we should leave it at that and focus on the Tyrese Hunter stuff and J.J. Cole tonight. Nick Olson, 24/7 Sports, CycloneAlert.com. Nick, we'll speak with you next Monday, all right?
Can't wait, guys. We think it'll be a little slower day. Thanks for having me.
Good to hear from you. Nick Olson, 24/7 Sports, CycloneAlert.com. Trent, it's the bigger story in this is how do the... I'll use both of them.
Yep.
Iowa State, how do they keep up?
How do
Ohio
compete?
State wants a kid. One of the blue bloods of whatever conference you're in. If Tyrese Hunter's going to leave, and I'm not killing him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we heard his story during the NCAA tournament.
Yep.
His grandma was finally able to see him play. She raised him. Sounds as though there wasn't, as is the case with a lot of athletes, not an overabundance of finances in the house. And if you can...
He doesn't have both of his parents.
That's just it, yeah. Right? And if you can, you know, get paid... I had no idea that it was going to get to this level. I had none.
Where are we trending in a direction where...
I don't like it.
We see what's happening at the mid-majors, and these are targets...
With the UNIs and such, are you
right?
Mean? Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you look at the kid that Iowa State's recruiting right now from Wright State, really good player. The Iowa guy from Utah Valley, really good player. And they go to these places, and then they get really good, and then they leave.
Mm-hmm.
AJ Green, yeah. Possibly leave.
Right.
Noah Carter,
gone.
Left at UNI.
Yeah.
And we see this continually happening... And it sucks for the mid-majors. But ultimately, what do we really care about? Let's be honest, it's the power conference structure. And so it's not that big of a deal. But now when it's impacting us, when it's impacting our big two in the state,
uh-huh.
It's a lot bigger deal. And it's not the way it probably should be, but it's the reality. What drives what we do here on KXNO?
Iowa State.
It's Iowa State. And now it's impacting us. And it's impacting us in a big way. Yeah, now we're saying, how do we figure this out? Mm. Can you figure this out? Financially... Can it happen?
I think it's too late. I mean, Arch Manning's about to get millions of dollars wherever he goes.
And he doesn't need it.
That's a great point. He doesn't need it. But he's one of the few. It's way bigger than... I was completely out of touch on this.
Mm-hmm.
Totally out of touch.
You thought it was, hey, they get 50 grand.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know...
Maybe.
You can go out to dinner a couple times mm-hmm. a week. You can take your girlfriend out. You can take mm-hmm. your boyfriend out. You can do those things as a student athlete. That's good. Hey, Caitlin Clark, this is great.
Yep.
She's getting some money from Hy-Vee. That's a great story.
Have a basketball camp. Put a few thousand in your pocket.
Right.
And away we go.
Yes.
The offensive line's got a restaurant sponsor. We can get to eat there, and they each get $4,000 a year.
You get a new car. Okay. All these things. But this?
Jesus.
I was with you. And I thought, yeah, there might be... That LeBron-type basketball player that came in and did that, right? There'd be those stories, but it really wasn't going to impact us. This is impacting
us.
It's
here. It's here, absolutely.
And you better get on the forefront here. And everybody in those offices in Ames and Iowa City, you got to figure this out. Those collectives we've heard about
mm-hmm.
needs to be done yesterday.
Absolutely. I mean, honestly, is there a place we can... Because I don't know if... Do you have to report this? I mean, I know the players do once, tax-wise.
Sure.
But do we... Is there a transfer portal?
Right,
is there an NIL portal where we can go and see player ABC is getting XYZ?
There is a site out there that does have that has been tracking. Now, it's not a complete comprehensive list, but it is. And I'm going to try to see if I can track that down.
What's the highest an Iowa State player is making, and who is it? Conversely, right. Who's making money at Iowa? And how much?
Mm-hmm. I heard at Shields over the weekend, the Murrays were doing a signing. And it was, lines out the door.
It's crazy. Was that last weekend, though?
Yeah, last weekend. So, yeah, those things are out there, but ultimately, what'd they get? $10,000 for it?
I don't know.
$5,000?
What did Jordan Bohannon make in his final year?
Went over to the fireworks shop and got a check for $1,000?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Patrick McCaffrey's hawking pizzas.
Right. He's got Falbo Brothers, and he's doing a goofy dance out there.
Right.
They do their podcast at a Mexican restaurant. Couple $100, couple $1,000.
See, that's what I thought it was going to be. But then when you see
$750,000.
Wow. College sports has changed. I was wrong. You naysayers, you were right. At least it sure looks like that. Miller and Condon, back to wrap up hour number one. It's Des Moines Sports Station, 106.8.com. Miller and Condon, welcome back to Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Final minute or so of hour number one before we move into the second hour. Matt Snyder on MLB coming up. We'll do that. We'll get Scott Docterman in here. Big Ten meteorites are on the table.
Twins up 4-0 against the Red Sox. Beating around former friend Rich Hill on the bump.
Oh, that's right. I saw he started today.
4-0, and the Twins starter's been pretty good this year.
Not bad. Not bad.
Better than anticipated at this point.
Roy Smalley was in the booth with Dick Bremer, the college basketball announcer Dick Bremer, who's doing the Twins. He's a good listen, Trent. That is a good team.
Morneau is so boring.
He's boring. I want to like him.
I know.
He's a good player. He's Canadian.
Mm-hmm. There's not a whole lot of depth there.
Yeah.
And he explains the game. He'll dig into analytics a little bit more than certainly Bert ever would because he hated it. Just not a lot of personality.
Mm-hmm. There isn't. We'll see. Anyways, so 4-0 Twins. Of course, Patriots Day in Boston. They are running the marathon. You were going to do that this year.
Roll it, maybe.
Oh, man. 11 o'clock. We'll take a quick timeout. We'll come back with another keyword coming up in about 25 minutes. Matt Snyder on Major League Baseball is next. Miller and Condon underway on a Monday. Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO.